Shall we now turn to the book of Judges, chapter 10. Book of Judges, chapter 10. And we shall read verse 6. Verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. The title I've given this morning is Amazon Synod, Paganism in the Vatican. Now, I've taken this title from the people, Catholics, actually, who have been talking about this synod and saying that there is paganism in the Vatican. And now, when we read the Bible, we read in the book of Deuteronomy this verse, which is the faith of the people of Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Lord our God is one Lord. But constantly, the people of Israel turned to syncretistic religion. Syncretistic religion, I will explain to you as we move forward. But for many years now, the Roman Catholics have willfully denied that it is a syncretistic religion, while openly teaching, following, and practicing syncretism. Yet when questioned, they outrightly deny it. But now, suddenly, the very Roman Catholics are accusing Pope Francis and the Vatican for practicing syncretism. They are accusing the Pope and the Vatican for bringing paganism in the Vatican. Should we, as Christians, be concerned about what's going on in the Vatican? Surely we should. There are 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world. And it is our responsibility to reach out to them and make them aware of the apostasy in the Roman Catholic Church. The Lord has saved so many of us and brought us out of the apostate church. We must have the burden towards our relatives, our friends, and people that are fed with falsehood and kept away from the truth. So it is out of love and concern which I have had for 31 years. And again, I bring this awareness of what is happening in the Vatican right now. The Vatican is having a synod on Amazon. It began on the 6th of this month and it will end on the 27th of this month, October 2019. And during this synod, the issues discussed are about environment, inculturation. Regarding inculturation, the Pope is insisting that the Roman Catholic Church enhance the local culture and that evangelism should not colonialize the people of Amazon or any other culture. In other words, we should leave their culture as it is, whether it holds the biblical values or not. In fact, he says we should learn from them. And beside this, also is discussed the role of lay people, the role of the lay people in the church. The synod is also discussing the oppression of the local people by the elite and that they should fight against corrupt practices and injustice. To fight against these forces, Liberation theology is seen as a solution. The Pope has been accused for supporting Marxism and communist agenda because liberation theology is based on Marxist ideology. Also discussed in this Amazonian synod is the role of the women and married priests. Collaboration with other religions and a need to understand and to dialogue and unity through interfaith worship continues to be the theme of this synod. As usual, the synod is demanding that popular piety of the people should be promoted, should be encouraged, and should be enhanced by the church. It does not matter whether the piety exhibits Christ's teaching or not. In fact, the Catholic faithful are told to learn from the Amazonians. Taking all this into account, the Pope has been accused of polytheism, bringing in syncretism in Catholicism, making Catholics into communists, playing politics, encouraging homosexuals and pedophiles, priests, and bringing in the fertility cult of the pagan Amazonian people. Quite a thing, isn't it? The pagan believe that the earth is a mother goddess. Some videos show a group of people from Amazon giving the Pope nude and pregnant figurines of women considered to be mother goddess and performing rituals to drive away evil. You can go to YouTube and you can see it for yourself. Now, all of these issues that the Pope is discussing is nothing new. Nothing new. The Pope is doing exactly what Vatican II Synod has advocated in the 1960s. It matches with the teachings of the Second Vatican Council. The outstanding criticism towards this synod is that the Pope has introduced Mother Goddess and brought in fertility cult in the Vatican. This morning, let us look into this one doctrine, which I believe is nothing new, but an age-old heresy and abomination in the Roman Catholic Church. And this abomination has kept 1 billion people enslaved to Satan, and the Roman Catholic Church has played a vital role in keeping these poor souls captive, which included me and my wife, and as I said, continues to do so billions of Roman Catholics. Now, this heresy and abomination is a teaching of Mary being the mother of God. This is the heresy. Now, anthropologists say when the Roman Catholic Church took the cult of Mary among the pagans of the world, especially of the Amazon region, these people had no problem accepting Roman Catholicism because they saw Mary as the mother goddess. In all religions, as you know, dear friends, the mother of God is called the goddess. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is called by the Roman Catholic Church mother of God, and this clearly makes her a goddess. From where did the idea of Mother of God enter into the Church of Christ? The Bible does not speak of the Mother of God. In fact, the Bible condemns such belief. The people of Israel were warned not to worship the goddess. When they did worship and venerated and offered prayers and cakes and incense and candles to the pagan goddess, God punished Israel. The people of Israel, the people of God, very often turned into syncretistic religion. And now, so what is syncretistic religion? Well, it is an union or an attempt to fuse many religions, many different religions, cultures, and philosophy So you have one God, but then when you see other gods and you see other philosophies and other religion, you fuse their ideas of God and their gods into your own religion. So for example, this is what the priest, the false prophets, the kings and the people of Israel did. We read in the book of Judges, and you read this all throughout in the Old Testament. We read here in Judges chapter 10 verse 6, the scripture that we read, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord, and served not him. Now, it is not that they entirely threw their own God Yahweh. No, not so. The temple was there, they went and worshipped, they went and sacrificed, but along with him, they also worshipped all these gods, the sun god, the moon god, and all manner of gods. You see? So they added to other gods and goddesses in their own religion, and they diminished the living God. They brought into the temple of God the statues of pagan gods and goddesses. In Judges chapter 10 verse 6, it says that Israel served Baalim and Ashtaroth. Who is Ashtaroth? Ashtaroth is a goddess of the Canaanite people, related with fertility cult. She is mother goddess. Prophet Samuel told the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter 7 verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do not turn unto the Lord with all your heart, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, goddess from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only. He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. God demands that if you want to be right with me, if you want peace, if you want joy, if you want your life to be preserved, then serve only me. The mother goddess is worshipped by the pagans of the world as a mother of life. She was believed to be Baal, who is the head of all gods. She is believed to be Baal's wife, mistress. Now, there is absolutely no hint in the Bible that God has a mother, nor that God has a wife or a mistress, not at all. The Bible teaches that God is spirit. The Bible teaches that God is the source of life. He creates all things through his word. It is God who gives growth and provides harvest. He cares for the birds of the air, and he fashions and designs the flowers of the field. There is no hint of sex in the Godhead. Now you must have seen holy pictures with images of God the Father, Mary, and then you have in the middle Jesus. When a person who is not a Christian looks at this picture, to what will he or she relate this picture to? Obviously, to God, Goddess, and the Sun God. The Egyptians worshipped Osiris, the male god. He was the husband of Isis, the goddess, and they had a son called Horus. The Hindus have gods and goddesses as their wives. And this being the belief all over the world with all the people of the earth, Christians should have taken extra care not to associate Mary as the mother of God and giving her the status of a goddess. The apostles never did this as they went about preaching the gospel from country, from nation to nation among the pagans. They never, ever spoke of Mary. They spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ. They preached that salvation is through Christ alone. They never mention Mary in their preaching or in their teaching. Open the Bible and show me. Never, ever. Not once does the apostle mention Mary or turn the people's attention towards Mary as the mother of God. This is the whole truth, dear friends. To promote Mary as the mother of God is totally a wrong and false representation of Mary. Not only that, the Roman Catholic Church even goes to make her the mother of all living, a mother of life. I will quote for you some teachings of the Second Vatican Council. In the document of the dogmatic constitution of the Church called Lumen Gentium, on the teaching of Our Lady, there are many sections of the Church, and one of them is on Our Lady, that is Mary, chapter 8. And I'll read for you few of the things that are spoken of Mary. And this is a council document of the Church. In Article 52, speaking of the body of the Church, it says, joined to Christ, their head, and in communion with all saints, the faithful must reverence the memory, first of all, the glorious ever Virgin Mary, Mother of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when you talk, it is saying, when you talk about the Church, first of all, you must with reverence remember the glorious ever Virgin Mary. Not Christ, not the Father in heaven, but Mary. Where in the scripture does it say that we must first of all remember Mary, the Mother of God? The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. You are a youth. Whom are you to remember? The Lord God Almighty who has created you. Dear friends, not anyone else. The child of God in the Psalms and everywhere always says, I will remember my God, my Father. In Article 54, she is called the mother of humanity. Article 56, Mary is the mother of the living and goes further to say, death through Eve, life through Mary. Eve brought death, but Mary brought life. The Bible never ever indicates that Mary is the mother of humanity. God is the Father of humanity. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Again, Psalm 24 verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Oh, dear friends, God is the creator of all humanity. He is not spoken as the mother. In Article 56 it says, it is no wonder then that it was customary for the Holy Fathers, that is the early fathers of the Church, to refer to the Mother of God as all holy and free from every stain of sin, as though fashioned by the Holy Spirit and formed as a new creature. The Bible does not ever say that Mary was conceived without any sin. This is adding to the scriptures. It is contradicting the scriptures. Mary was a simple creature like you and I, created by God. She was born in sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is what the Bible says. If Mary had to be free from every stain of sin, then David also should have been born without sin. For God promised that the Messiah, the King, would rise from his seed. Yet, David says in Psalm 51 verse 5, behold, I was shapen In iniquity, in sin, did my mother conceive me. You see that? Actually, Mary, we are not blaming Mary here at all. Mary never claimed to be without sin. No. Actually, Mary gives glory to God and says in Luke chapter 1, verse 48, "For he, that is God, has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth, from this time on, all generations shall call me blessed." She's saying the Lord God Almighty, the Holy of Holies, has regarded my low estate. What does low estate mean? What does it mean? It can mean to be poor, utterly poor, but more than that, it means spiritual abasement. Spiritual abasement. Here Mary, having received such a high favor to be the mother of the Savior, she is led to lament her mortal littleness and guilt. She is led to search her own heart. "Why me, Lord? I am such a sinner. I am nothing. And yet thou hast chosen me to be the mother of the Savior." What she's saying is, "I don't deserve this. I'm a sinner." And few verses later, in verse 52, she considered herself to be of low degree. Of low degree. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, "Don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" The goodness of God should lead you and me and everyone to repentance. So you see, Mary, having received such a high favor from God, she reflects as to how can this be? She's a sinner, and yet God has blessed her with such a great opportunity to be the mother of the Savior. So the goodness of God makes her think of her own sinful nature and repent. She was favored to become the mother of the Savior, but she in herself did not possess any divinity to be equal with God and with Christ, the Son of God. Oh no, she must be saying, "What a terrible thing you all are doing to me. What a terrible thing." You see, when Saul, who became Apostle Paul, when he received salvation, when he was saved by the Lord, he suddenly realized how terrible a sinner he is. Isn't it? He called himself the chiefest of sinners. He said, "I am the chief of all sinners." You know, before this, he believed that he was the most righteous man on earth. Look how the Roman Catholic Church is distorting the image of Mary. Oh dear friends, all of us here who have been saved by the Lord, when we were brought into Christ, we suddenly realize, oh, how terrible a sinner I was. Horrible. Why did God choose me? Why me, O Lord? There are others whom I know that are much better people. At least they seem to be better, but the Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. But people think that they are not sinners. They are self-righteous. So was I. And so was you. You see, so the goodness of God leads us to repentance, and that is what happened to Mary. Article 59, finally, the Immaculate Virgin, preserved free from all stain of original sin, was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory. The Roman Catholic Church said that she was taken up body and soul into heavenly glory. Who has seen this? About Christ, the disciples give witness that he went up in front of their eyes, but no one has seen Mary to ascend into heaven. This is like the Muslim saying that Prophet, after many years, they have written that he went up also. Everybody wants to go up body and soul in heaven. And this idea became a dogma, a belief, only in 1950. After almost 2,000 years of Mary's death, Pope Pius XII, on the 1st of November 1950, used his papal infallible power to make it the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church that she ascended into heaven, body and soul. After 2,000 years, can anyone trust this to be true? No. Another big lie regarding Mary is that the Roman Catholic believed that she was exalted by the Lord as queen over all things. Queen over all things. So she is believed to be the queen of heaven. Now, dear friend, we don't normally talk much about any particular religions here, but I felt that it was necessary as I began to prepare last week, and it has been on my mind ever since the synod began, and it happened to be today. So she is called the Queen of Heaven by the Roman Catholic Church. The Bible actually condemns the Queen of Heaven, for she is not goddess. There is no gods and goddesses in heaven. The Bible tells us that Satan comes as the angel of light. Satan appears in many forms. The pagans believed in the Queen of Heaven. Since they believed that God has a wife, obviously, if God is a king, the wife will be the queen. The people of Israel began to worship the pagan Queen of Heaven. And we are told in Jeremiah chapter 44 that they began to offer her cakes and to burn incense and pour water for her. God, therefore, punished Israel. He made their land a desolation and led them into exile. And you can read this in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 44. The Catholic Church said, since she is the Queen of Heaven, therefore she is co-redemptrix, in that she is exalted by the Lord as Queen over all things, that she might be the more fully conformed to her Son, the Lord of Lords and Conqueror of sin and death. In Article 60, she is also called the Mediatrix. How do we understand this? They believe since she is the Queen of Heaven, she has a joint role in whatever Jesus Christ has achieved and whatever he has become. So if Jesus is the Redeemer, she is the co-redeemer. If Jesus is the mediator, she is the co-mediator. If Jesus is the savior, she is a savior too. But nowhere does the Bible associate any man or any woman with Jesus' work of salvation. The Bible categorically says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. It doesn't say man and woman, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Do you see what the Roman Catholic Church is doing? It's not the people, it's the hierarchy there. It's not the ordinary people like you and me who is bringing about this teaching, you see. She has added, the Roman Catholic Church, the hierarchy, has added and joined pagan belief into her Christian belief. This is not something new. It has been going on for centuries. This adding of pagan religious belief to their own belief is called syncretism. It is a meaning, it is a merging of different religious belief into one. And this is what the one world religion is going to be. You see, it will not offend anybody. Oh, Jesus Christ is offending you, take him out. Whatever is an offense, take it out. You see, this is one world religion. And Rome is leading the way. In Article 62 of the Church, in regard to Mary, the Vatican Council says, she, by her manifold intercession, continues to procure for us the gift of eternal salvation. Where in the Bible do we hear that Mary, by her intercession, obtained for us the gift of eternal salvation? The Bible says salvation belongs to God. It is God who saves. With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Dear friends, you may be thinking, I am such a sinner. I am such a sinner. God will not accept me. I have tried and I cannot find salvation. Do not give up, dear friends. Hold on to Him. Remember, God is the God who tests you to see whether you are truly. It has happened to me. It has happened to me. At one point I said, God, I cannot do it anymore. I cannot give up my sins. I said, I will sin even more because I can't find salvation. But God is gracious. God is gracious. Ultimately, 10th of March 1988, He took me and hooked me for Himself forever. Forever. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible, says the Lord Jesus Christ. So He teaches us that Christ came into the world to save sinners, and He is faithful. Moreover, the Bible specifically tells us that Jesus, the High Priest, intercedes for us. So also the Holy Spirit. It does not say Mary is interceding for us. I will read for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray. For as we ought, we don't know how to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Yes, dear friends, keep praying, keep seeking, and the Holy Spirit will help as He prays for you. And of Christ Jesus, the Bible also says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that He is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. It is the Holy Spirit that makes intercession for us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who makes intercession for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, wherefore He is able also to save them to the uttermost. Who saves them? God saves them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever lives to make intercession for them. The Lord Jesus Christ lives forever. He is interceding for you and me. Hebrews chapter 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And remember, Mary is called the advocate by the Roman Catholic Church. But here again, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, dear friends, I wish you will understand the great contradiction that is there in the cult of Mary. Where is Mary in all this? Which gospel is this? Roman Catholic gospel is definitely not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Blessed Virgin is invoked in the Roman Catholic Church under the titles of advocate, helper, beneficiary, benefactress, and mediatrix. And having said this, it goes to say that this does not take away the dignity and the efficacy of Christ, the one mediator. Does it not, dear friends? Does it not take away the uniqueness of the Son of God? Does it not add another person in the Godhead, in the Trinity? Does this not go against the scriptures and the command of the Lord? It definitely does. Mary, as promoted by the Catholic Church, is alien to the revelation in the Word of God. It's a robbery. It is anti-Christian and anti-God. I wish to mention just one more before I go to tell you even more serious error of the Catholic Church. In Article 65 of the Lumen Gentium, the Vatican document says, in the Most Blessed Virgin, the Church has already reached that perfection. In Mary, the Church has reached the perfection whereby she exists without spot or wrinkle. Does the Bible instruct us that we should be perfect like Mary? Is any human being beside the Lord Jesus Christ perfect? Are we called to imitate Mary? Is the Church perfect in Mary? Did God send Mary from heaven to live a perfect life and make us perfect? The command of the Lord Jesus Christ is, Matthew chapter 4 verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The Father in heaven and the Son Jesus Christ alone is perfect. There is none other that is perfect. The heart of man, the Bible says, the heart of men, that is men, women, boys and girls, the heart of man is utterly wicked. So how can any person on this earth be compared to the perfection of God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ? We are called to be perfect unto Christ. The Bible says that gifts are given to us for the perfecting of the saints and for the edifying of the body of Christ, isn't it? And the fullness of God dwells in Christ, not in Mary, the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the exact image of the invisible God, not Mary. The true Church of Christ is moving towards becoming all in Christ Jesus, not Mary. Oh dear friends, after hearing this and examining this, if you truly love God and His Son Jesus Christ, you will dare not remain in an organization that deceives people to stop them from knowing the truth. Now, the critics of Pope Francis, are they against the teaching of Mary being the Mother of God? No. They call themselves the traditionalists. They are demanding that they go back to Latin Mass. That is their big demand. Go back to the Latin Mass. We must say Mass only in Latin. In India, in Africa, in China, Latin. It was done before, yes, for almost 2,000 years until 1960s, before the Second Vatican Council. I used to say Mass in Latin, didn't understand anything, not a word of it. But they are demanding that the Mass should be said in Latin. They dearly hold on to the doctrine of Mary as taught by the Roman Catholic Church. They want to follow the Douay version of the Bible. Look, they are criticizing the Pope, the present Pope, but they are traditionalists, believing everything that is taught about Mary. And they hold on to the Douay version of the Bible. What does it say? What does Douay version say about Mary? The Douay Bible, this is the first Catholic Bible in English. It was known as the Douay Rheims version. The New Testament was published in Reims, France, in 1582, and the Old Testament of Douay, at Douay, that's what, you know, Douay Rheims version, in France, both, it was in France, in 1609. So from, now look at, listen to it carefully, it was published in 1609, the complete Bible. So which means, for 1,600 years, the Roman Catholic Church starved the English common people of God's Word. They, in fact, starved every nation of their own language, hearing God in their own language. In Konkani, as I told you very often, the Bible was published, the New Testament, only in 1972. Recent thing. And I think in 2005 or something, or 10 the whole Konkani Bible. So can you imagine? Okay, so for 1600 years the Roman Catholic Church starved the English common people of God's word. They nor any other European people had the Bible in their own language. The moment Roman Church became politically and economically strong, they saw that only Latin people have the right to read the Bible. And let me tell you, dear friends, the reason why they translated the Bible into English after 1600 years was because God raised up men, priests, converted them to Christ. And some of these were, for example, Martin Luther, William Trinity, and others. What did these men do when they were converted to Christ? They translated the Bible from the original into their own language. They said, we must give the word of God to our people in their own language. Martin Luther in Germany, William Tyndale in English. William Tyndale, a priest who translated the Bible into English, was burned. Burned for doing this. Yes, imagine how holy the Pope is. Imagine how holy the Catholic Church is. They killed millions of Christians for turning to Christ and worshipping God in spirit and in truth and for translating the Bible in their own language. The English Catholics would have never got their Bible in their own language if it was not for the Reformation which began by God in 1517. So you can see the reason why the Roman Catholic Church translated the Bible in English. They did it because William Tyndale printed his English Bible in 1526 and 1536. Only after 60 years did the Roman Church brought out their English Bible. The Roman Catholic Church was put to shame. Many people, after reading the Bible, came to know the truth and left the corrupt, apostate Roman Church. But it was not by their own. It was a movement of the Holy Spirit. God ordained it. But even when they published the Bible in English, they made Mary the Savior and robbed the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. I will tell you why. In the prophecy about Christ Jesus, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, instead of showing Jesus crushing the head of the serpent, who is Satan, the Roman Bible showed Mary crushing the head of the serpent. You must have seen the picture of Legion of Mary. Mary standing on the globe, and there is a serpent, and her foot is on top of the head of the serpent, indicating it is she who crushed the head of the serpent. This is what it says in the Douay version. I'm reading from the Douay version. God is speaking to the serpent. Remember, God is cursing serpent. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. I will put enmities between thee and the woman, between serpent and the woman, and thy seed, serpent's seed, and her seed. Fine. Now, she shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for a heel. Now let us read the Authorized King James Version, which was published in 1611. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. His heel, which means the seed of the woman. The emphasis and the focus is on the seed. The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, meaning Satan. The seed is male, not female. And thou shalt bruise his heel. The King James translation was published in 1611. It is the most accurate translation. Now all the modern translation, including the Roman Catholic modern translation of the Bible, goes along with the King James Version. For this is what the original says. You see? But Have they corrected the Douay version? No. It still remains the same. You see, now the traditionalists in the Roman Church criticized Pope for bringing in pagan ideas into Vatican and the doctrine of Mother Goddess in the Roman Catholic Church, but the teaching that Mary is the Mother of God was fixed in 431 during the Council of Ephesus. You see how far it goes? 431 after Christ rose from the dead and ascended, after the church was established. For the pagans in Ephesus, the mother of God was Diana. She was the goddess of love, sex, beauty, and fertility. Of course, Mary is not depicted in such a manner. Of course not. But the Roman Catholic Church used her to rob all the titles and works of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They made Mary equal to Jesus Christ. So people honor today more Mary than Jesus. If you come to Bombay, there's a place in Mahim, a Catholic church, where they have a novena on Wednesdays for perpetual succor. And you will find more Hindus and more Muslims there worshipping Mary. In droves they come. Call them to worship Jesus. Will they come? No, because they can identify the mother goddess of their religion. You see? Now, for Satan, this was more profitable than depicting Mary as the goddess of sex, beauty, and fertility. Satan changes his tactics according to his needs. First, he already had them all in his grip. But now, what shall I do? Let us now make, you know, this goddess equal to Christ Jesus. You see, and he has played his cards well. Oh dear friends, I'm finishing now. Don't be deceived. There is only one that you can truly trust, and that is the Word of God. Most important thing for salvation is to know the truth. Truth cannot be mixed with lies. No matter how good the lies look, how good the lies feel good, how materially beneficial the lies turn out to be. Lies has only one end, destruction and lake of fire. With the Amazonian Synod in Rome, which will end on the 27th of this month, one thing has become sure. The Roman Catholic Church wants to come out of the closet and show its true color. It does not want to play double anymore. It simply wants to be what it always was. Satan is becoming bold on every side. Satanists are worshipping Satan openly, isn't it, today? Homosexuals are openly showing that they are proud of being what they are, with gay pride. Bestiality is becoming legal. So will pedophilia and nudism. The time for Satan's little season is on. Jesus is your only refuge, dear friends, only safety. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. What if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, the lover of your soul, and save your life for eternity. And finally, I would like to end with the command of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the passage that we read in the second reading. Wherefore, the command is, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Oh, the Lord says, you are the temple of God. I will dwell in you and walk in you, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. Shall be my people.